Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God this evening from the Holy Gospel in Luke 12. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is God's word. Maybe some of you have noticed, and maybe you haven't, but on our bulletins, and I've done this since I've got here to Our Redeemer, I believe I did it when I was in Puerto Rico as well. I don't know if I did it. Sometime in the last few years, I started doing this when I put together a bulletin, but always making a point to include the letters A-D when talking about the year. So the way you normally write that is, today is 31 December A.D. 2019. Whenever I ask kids in confirmation class what A.D. stands for, they often mistakenly say, and I've heard a lot of people say this, that it stands for after death. B.C. means before Christ, and A.D. means after death. Well, that's not true at all, because then what do you do with the 30 years in between? They just don't get called anything? No, the year 2019 AD means it is 2019 Ad Domini, which is Latin for the year of our Lord. And tonight we cross in from 2019, the year of our Lord, into the new year of 2020, another year of the Lord. And that little phrase says something about what we believe about that year. If it is indeed the year of the Lord, that little word of implies that it belongs to him. It is the Lord's year. And indeed it is, because all time belongs to him. Time is one of those things that's very difficult to wrap our brains around, because it's a little bit abstract. You can't touch time, you can't see time, you can't hear time, but we all know it's there. And yet God, who is eternal, we call him the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, but yet that's not even really fitting, is it? Because he's without beginning and without end. He always is, he always has been, and always will be. An eternal God is beyond time. An eternal God has made time. That's one of those things that kind of blows my mind a little bit and makes it very, you ever have those times when you're thinking about something and you're just, your mind's blown. You just, to think that God is beyond time. He's not limited by age. He doesn't have a start date and an end date. He always is, always has, always will be. He is, as he revealed his name to Moses in Exodus 3, I am is his name. Always there. He is. That's who God is. Beyond what we understand as time. The Bible talks this way too. Time belonging to God. Ecclesiastes 3. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Even time belongs to God. And as Jesus himself tells us in John 3, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So time does not just belong to God the Father. Time belongs to Jesus as well. Our gospel for New Year's Eve, and this is the one that's appointed for New Year's Eve, the church has given us this reading for tonight, reminds us how we are to place all things in the hands of our Lord. Stay dressed for action. Be ready, in other words. Keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. We are called by our Lord Jesus to place all things in this new year into our Lord's hands, to be people who are ready to do his bidding, to be people whose lamps are burning. A lamp in the Bible is often a metaphor for God's word. In other words, we should do our Lord's bidding, be in his word, and wait for him to come home from the wedding feast. That picture of a wedding feast, many of you know, especially if you come to our Bible studies, that the wedding feast is an image of eternity. That time without beginning or end when we will live forever with our Lord, it will be a celebration, a wedding feast. And our Master, our Lord, will come to take us to that wedding feast, to that eternal celebration of the bridegroom, Jesus, and his bride, the church. I don't know what you've resolved to do in 2020. I have a few things that I'm going to try to do. I'm not going to bore you with them here, because that way you can't call me on them if I don't stick to them, right? But there is no higher calling, no more important thing that we should do in the year 2020 than to stay awake and keep our lamps burning, be dressed for action, be like men waiting for their master to come home. In other words, we light our lamps with the word of God. We receive his gifts. We repent. We turn from our sins. That's what waiting people do. They wait for their Lord. And so we gather around his word with repentant hearts, receiving his gifts of word and sacrament. There is nothing more important that we do in the next year to come than hear the word and receive the gifts. That is how we wait. That's what it means to be dressed for action. Scripture likes to call the righteousness of Jesus a robe, a white robe, in which his saints are clothed. And you have been dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who forgives all your sin and gives you a perfect standing before your Father. In this year to come, we place all things in his hands. And in this year to come, he promises to us that he will keep us and our every moment in his hands. Those servants that Jesus describes who are prepared for their master because they're hearing his word, they're gathered around his gifts, they're ready when he comes. Jesus says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, Jesus says, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. The master, Jesus says, will serve the servants. That's what our Lord Jesus will come again to do, to take us to his heavenly table where we are served. And stop and think about how that's exactly what happens to you every time you come to Holy Communion. That it is not some work that we do for God or something we do to appease him, but rather where the Master serves you, where he feeds you and nourishes you at his very table. After all, that's what he says he will do for all eternity. Invite us to his table to enjoy his gifts. Jesus says if he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Nighttime in Jewish culture was roughly 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. The first watch was from 10 to 2. No, I'm sorry. It was from, I got my hours all mixed up here. It was 12 hours. It was from 6 to 6. Forgive me. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. From 6 to 10 was the first watch. 10 to 2, the second watch. And from 2 to 6, the third watch. And the servant would never know at what time the master would return. If you think of the image of a party, our son Paul is babysitting tonight for some people who are going out to celebrate New Year's Eve. They contacted me and said, would Paul be able to watch the kids? And we said, sure. And we asked him, and he said, sure, he'd be happy to do it. What times do you need him till? Like, well, maybe around 7 o'clock. And, well, if he's willing to stay that long, we'd like to stay until the ball drops. In other words, their plans were flexible. If they had to come back earlier, they would. Or they might stay out a little later, come back after the ball drops. Well, the thing about New Year's Eve and those of who celebrate it, you don't quite know what time your plans will end, do you? And you can have good, well-meaning, innocent fun. It doesn't have to be something scandalous on New Year's Eve. A lot of people, maybe even some of you, will stay up past midnight to watch that ball drop. Who knows? Or maybe you'll crash at about 10:30, which I suspect I'm probably going to do. We just don't know at what time that celebration will end. The same way we don't know at what time our Lord will return from his seat next to his Father on high to come get us and bring us to that table to celebrate with him forever. Could be in the first watch, could be in the second watch, could be in the third. Could be at, 9:30, could be at 1:30, could be at 3:30. Who knows? But it's all in his hand. It's all in our Lord's hand. And what an incredible comfort, along with a calling, that our Lord Jesus gives us this New Year's Eve. On the one hand, he does call us and remind us to be ready, to be prepared. You must also be ready, Jesus says, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And that's the challenge of time being in his hands. We are left to be patient and diligent and to serve as we wait for his coming. That's what God's people do. They wait. They gather around his word and around his gifts until that time when he returns to us. But there's also a blessing of all that time being in his hands. All things are under his control. He orders all events. And I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. Notice how God chose to save us. Yes, we know through the Son, Jesus Christ. We know through the cross. We know through the crucifixion, through the resurrection on Easter morning, we know these things. But also consider how God saved us in time, in history. Your salvation came at a point fixed in time 2,000 years ago when God entered time. The eternal God, without beginning and without end, Alpha and Omega, became a human being, born at a point in time, dying at a point in time. God took time and used it for his purpose. His purpose was to save you. His purpose was to bless you. That, Jesus reminds us, is what the master who returns, he's talking about himself, that's what that master will do when he returns. He will bless those who recline at his table. Why should we ever doubt for a second that if God has used time for his purposes, that he will not use every moment of our lives and our year to come and all the years to come for his purpose as well? We know that at a point fixed in time, he will come again for us. And in the meantime, the time in which we wait, we stay dressed for action. We confess our sins. We repent. Turn away from all the evil within our lives. We hear his word. We receive his gifts. Gifts given in time. Given at a moment right here. In fact, right now. The word that forgives you is the word that feeds you, is the word that even though we receive it at this moment in time right now, it's a timeless word because it lasts forever. As does Christ our Lord, as does his love for us, as will our life forever with him when our master returns to us. The Lord bless you in the coming year. As you gather around his word, as you confess your sin, as you turn from sin, as you receive his gifts that he promises will always be there to feed you and nourish you and keep you in his care until his blessed coming at whatever hour he should choose. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.